life would be, how dark and drear my nights and days. If Jesus' face I did not see, to brighten all earth's weary ways, I'm overshadowed by His mighty love, love eternal, changeless, pure. Overshadowed by His mighty love, rest is mine serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day by day. I'm overshadowed by His mighty love, love that brightens all my way. With burdened heart I wandered long, by grief and unbelief distressed. But now I sing faith's happy song. In Christ, my Savior, I am blessed. I'm overshadowed by His mighty love, love eternal, changeless, pure. Overshadowed by His mighty love, rest is mine serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day by day. I'm overshadowed by His mighty love, love that brightens all my way. Now judgment fears no more alarm. I dread not death nor Satan's power. The world for me has lost its charm. God's grace sustains me every hour. I'm overshadowed by His mighty love, love eternal, changeless, pure. Overshadowed by His mighty love, rest is mine serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day by day. I'm overshadowed by His mighty love, love that brightens all my way.
Amen. Scott, turn to your Bible, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, find that scripture, last book in the Bible. If you are getting familiar with the scripture, and you hear somebody say Genesis to Revelation, that means Revelation, last book in your Bible. Find that, find chapter 1. Appreciate the good song, appreciate a good safe song for Christian worship, for worship of God. You say, that's a little old, it may be a little old, it's a lot safe. And I've got some things to show you in the coming weeks that are going to, I think, shock you, maybe not. We are well past, unfortunately, CCM. That's not the going thing nowadays. I'm talking about Christian contemporary music. That's rock music with Christian words. Now the going thing is flat-out rock music in church services before men preach. Songs like Born to Be Wild. I mean, just sung right there on the platform in a church service. Who needs Christian words? Let's just throw out the Christian words and have rock music. Now, that's what's happening. It'd be a cold day where the booger man lives, as long as I'm the pastor, before that happens here. Okay? I mean that. And you say, well, that stuff that we just heard, that's old. Yeah, it's old, but it's safe. Now, if you got to have music that, you know, stirs your foot, I don't mind some of that. I don't mind some of that. But it ought to stir your heart first. Stir your heart first. So I appreciate that. Let's stand together in honor of God's good book, Revelation 1, verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And then he lists all those seven different cities in Asia where the churches were located. I want to draw your attention to verse number 10 where the Bible says, I had heard behind me a great voice. I want to speak this morning on the great voice. This is probably my fifth time around in this passage of Scripture in these 28 years of preaching here at Faith Baptist Church. We need to revisit this passage. It must be revisited. It contains something that is absolutely vital for you and me as children of God. So I want to speak on the great voice. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the good music. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for overwhelming our hearts with your love. And certainly, when our hearts are overwhelmed with your love for us, it makes us want to love you back. We love you because you first loved us. Father, bless the preaching of your word this morning with fullness of power. Speak to the need of every heart in this room, I pray, in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you, and be seated. This is the time of year when families, couples, people in general try to slip away for a few days of vacation. Kids are out of school. The weather is nice. Let's hit the road and get out of Dodge for a few days. And I want to say, church, if you can do that, I believe it's healthy. I believe it's healthy for a family to be able to experience that kind of time together and the memories that are created. It doesn't have to be extravagant. I remember the days when our children were at home, young children at home, and six of them, and our vacations were basically trips to Atlanta to see my parents, their grandparents. It was twofold. The grandparents wanted to see the kids, and the kids wanted to see the grandparents who lived far away. So it was two. And it was cheap. Amen. It was free lodging, free food, and usually one free activity paid for by the generosity of the grandparents. In return, we always tried to schedule a couple of days of working in the yard or around the house, helping Dad do some things that maybe he needed help with. And I'm not sure how much got done by the six children, but I worked some when we were there. Now, I remember getting ready for vacation. I remember starting a few days early, getting clothes out, getting ready, suitcases and bags. Remember the days of all the hard shell suitcases? Remember that? And so forth. And I remember all that. And then the kids kept coming, more suitcases, more bags. And the kids kept coming, more suitcases, more bags. And it always took a lot of clothes to go to Georgia because we went to church, which is the right thing to do. And we took dress clothes, and we took play clothes, and we took work clothes. So we got more suitcases and more bags and more of this. And now you got things for the kids to do in the car. And so we got a van, a conversion van for room, and we filled that up. And then we bought one of those turtles to go on the top and bolted that thing down, strapped it down to the luggage rack and filled that thing up, and more bags and more suitcases. And every year I would pack the bags in the van and I would grumble and I would say, what in the world's going on? And it seemed like the bags were like rabbits. They just multiplied and you'd get everything set in the van, and then here comes three more bags. And the kids would always snicker and smile and whisper, "Dad's packing the van again. Dad's packing the van. Don't go outside. Dad's packing the van again." And you guys can sit with that. By the time you finish, you got to take a shower because you're all sweated up. They've been sitting inside drinking tea and lemonade, laughing at you packing the van, and now you got to go take a shower. And boy, vacation starts on a good note, doesn't it? Take a shower. And every man knows when you say we're leaving at 6:30, you actually mean 6. You don't mean 6:30. You mean that's when you're 10 miles down the road, you know. And so it was an ordeal. But anyway, it's a little bit easier nowadays. Amen. It was preparation. That's what we do when we get ready to go somewhere. You know, we've planned a trip, and it's an activity, and it's an event, and we anticipate, and we prepare ourselves, and off we go, hopefully for a great time. All right. That's my introduction, part of it. And don't get worried. I got about 3 sermons in one this morning, but we'll get through in good time. Okay. Now, look at verse number 10. John saw, we'll come back to that thought in just a minute. John said in verse number 10 that he heard behind him a great voice. I believe it was great because of who was speaking. You know who was speaking? Well, look at verse number 11. I am. Stop right there. That's all you need. Who's that? That's Jehovah Jesus. That's who that is. I think it was great because of what was being said. What was being said? Look at verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was being unveiled to John on the Isle of Patmos. It was great because of who was speaking. It was great because of what was being said. Number 3, it was great because of when John heard it. When did he hear this voice? He heard it when he needed it. In verse number 9, he says that he was a companion in tribulation. You know what that means? It was a time of testing. A time of trial. There are people sitting in this auditorium this morning going through a time of trial right now that maybe only a couple, 3 people know about. A health-related issue. Time of trial. It was a time of tribulation. John was being persecuted. And so it was a great voice because of when John heard it. It was a great voice because of who was speaking. It was a great voice because of what was being said. It was a great voice because of when John heard it. And it was great because of why John heard it. Why did John hear it? Look at verse number 11. What thou seest, write in a book. Several times the speaker told John to write it down, write it down. Why was it written down? So those 7 churches could have the information that God wanted them to have. And it was preserved for me and you so that we could have it. So that was a great voice. Now that's a sermon all in itself right there. Great because of who said it. Great because of what was being said. Great because of when John heard it. And great because of why John heard it. Now, as God's people, we attend the assembly of born-again baptized believers for services on Sunday. This is not something that we do once a year or twice a year like a vacation. This is not something we do randomly throughout the year. We attend services on Sunday every week, week in and week out, and we do that because God told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Save people who honor God and obey His Word go to church faithfully. They go week after week after week. Now, we live in a day where God's people have decided that church is something to do when we can. It's something to do if there's nothing more pressing on our plate. It's something to do if there, you know, we feel like it, if I can work it in, if I don't have something else that needs to be done, etc., etc., etc. It's wrong. It's disobedience. There's no reason to debate. There's no argument. It's not honoring to God. This is His day. And if physically able, it should be given to Him. That's the end of the story. There's no debate, folks. Well, that's your take. That's not my take. That's not my version. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Okay? That's what God said. But this is not my message this morning. My message is for those of us who have made that decision to obey and honor God. You've made the assembly your priority because it's God's priority. And we want to make sure that we are prepared to get everything we need to get out of the Sunday services. We want to make sure we're ready to hear a great voice. And the voice I'm talking about is not my voice. Or the voice of any other preacher standing in the pulpit here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. I'm talking about the voice of God. We need to be like John, what he said in verse number 10. Look at it. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, he said, John in verse number 9. John was a disciple, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is up in years now. He's still a strong voice for God because of his testimony and because of his influence. And John was exiled to the island of Patmos by the emperor Domitian in 95 A.D. John is probably 90-something years of age, maybe 88, maybe 92. But he's real close to 90 years of age. And basically, Domitian placed him on this island, an old man on an island. Now think about that. With no conveniences, or very few, no other companions, he exiled him there. He took him there, dropped him off, and left him. For the purpose of closing his voice down, for the purpose of shutting him up, to ban his influence, to stop him from propagating the gospel of Christ. John was an eyewitness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. An eyewitness. He was an eyewitness. He was at the cross when Jesus was crucified. He was at the tomb, the empty tomb, the day that Jesus rose from the grave. He was there. He propagated the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why Domitian put him out there to shut him up. He is this revered, this respected, reverenced man of God, gray-haired probably now at 90 years of age. Maybe he didn't have any hair. I don't know. But his voice is revered and respected. And so Domitian puts him out there on this island and leaves him by himself to basically shut him up. Oh, but God had other plans. My goodness, the book of Revelation was given to John while he was on this island. The first 8 verses are like an introduction to the book. And then comes John's testimony in verse number 9. And then he says in verse number 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I love that statement. I love that statement. Folks, listen carefully. Christianity is a full-time lifestyle. It is not something we put on at church and take off when we leave. Boy, how we need to get that. Christianity is one day a week now for many, many, many people. It's a lifestyle. It's 24/7, 365 days of the year, after year, after year, after year, after year. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not something we do one day a week. But if there is any day of the week when a child of God should be in the Spirit, it is on the Lord's day. How did you come to church this morning? Did you come in the Spirit? This is the Lord's day. Here's John on the Isle of Patmos. He's exiled. He's an older man. He doesn't have any conveniences. But somehow he is able to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, look, without taking too much time here, you understand the term in the Spirit. Okay? There are two natures inside everybody who's a born-again child of God. If you've been saved, if you trusted Christ as your Savior 3 weeks ago or 30 years ago, it doesn't matter. There are two natures in your body. There is the old nature, the sin nature. We call it the flesh. There is the new nature, the sinless nature. We call that the Spirit, the new man. Now, look, folks. Every person in this room, from speaker to every listener, all of us live under the power and influence of one or the other. We walk or live in the flesh, or we walk or live in the Spirit. We talked about that not too long ago. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk under the influence, the power of one or the other. If you or I are walking in the flesh, that means we're dominated by fleshly thinking. We're dominated by fleshly desires. We have fleshly motives. And we have fleshly actions. You know what? No way under heaven we can please God. No way. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's the book of Romans. Or Galatians, one of the two. If I'm in the flesh, I can't please God. How horrible to come to the church service in the flesh on the Lord's day. Now, Christianity is 7 days a week. But if there's ever a time when I need to be in the Spirit and be pleasing to God, it should be on His day. Sunday's still His day. It's not the employer's day, it's His day. It's not the government's day, it's His day. When I am walking in the Spirit, when you and I are living in the Spirit, we are walking, we are being dominated, we are under the influence of the Spirit of God. We have Spirit-led thinking. We have Spirit-led desires. We have Spirit-led motives. We have Spirit-led actions. And you know what that means? That means we please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But they that walk in the Spirit please Him. And Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, is the day that Christians ought to be in the Spirit for sure. But now, wait a minute. At the beginning of every day, even Sunday, you and I don't wake up in the Spirit. Our default mode is in the flesh. So that means we have to purposely prepare ourselves to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day for the purpose of being ready to get something out of the church service. And I want you to see, folks, in chapter 1, verse number 9, that John, already mentioned this, was being persecuted. He says he was a companion in tribulation. Do you see that? All of God's people who had a testimony for Christ were being persecuted to some degree. They were going through a tremendous time of trial. Things were not the best. Yet John, exiled. Here's an older man. He probably needed a cane to help him walk. And he's exiled on this island with no modern conveniences and nobody there to help him. And somehow, some way, in those circumstances, John is able to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, what's my excuse? What's yours? There's no excuse, folks. Look, in life, in the living of our lives, all of us go through some kind of trying, difficult circumstances. All of us. Yet there must be a way to rise above the circumstances and be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. How'd you come to church this morning? Did you come walking in the Spirit or did you come walking in the flesh? How did you come to this church service on the Lord's Day? And I want to say that when you and I are going through these difficulties, whatever the cause, physical, vocational, financial, relational, whatever the reason, in the trial is the time we most need to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day because we sure need to hear His voice. I was at the conference this week. Brother Mike Ray was preaching and he mentioned he wasn't even preaching about this subject. He was preaching about another subject, but he said a little. He told how that he was in the car out there. Brother Ray pastors in Napa, California. Brother Ray and I were roommates together back in 1978. Went to school together, roomed together with Jim Blaylock and some other fellows. And Brother Ray went down to Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, where he was from, to be youth director for a while. And then he ended up in Napa. He's been in the wine capital of the world for 30 years. Happy place to live. Happy Valley. And he was talking about, he's been teaching down at Brother Treber's school in Santa Clara, Golden State Baptist College, since it was started. He just does like Brother Gomez does, has pastors in to teach some of the courses. And so he said one day we were sitting in the car together, him and Brother Treber, and he said Brother Treber was opening some mail. And he said he opened this letter, and Mike was doing something else, and Brother Treber read the letter, and then he just went, my, my, my. And then he started reading the letter to Brother Ray. It didn't give names. It just said, Dear Pastor, you probably have noticed that we've not been in church recently. Our son is in prison. Our daughter is expecting a child out of wedlock. We are too embarrassed to come to church. We'll pray for the services. We'll keep sending our tithe. We love you. We just can't face the people. Now, folks, I can understand the embarrassment, but I disagree wholeheartedly with the solution. If there's ever a time a child of God needs to be in church, it's when you're going through difficulty. How will you ever hear the great voice if you're not there? Sat down, Brother Barajas came to me yesterday morning, and he said, Pastor, he said, there's a man in the Spanish church, and he has missed now 3 or 4 Sundays, and he said that, he's discouraged and he's depressed, and he said he'd like to talk to you. And I said, how good is he with English? And he said, so we arranged a time to meet there. My partner and I, Ray and I, went down there and we met Brother Danny and Brother Victor. And we sat down with this man on the front porch and we began to talk. I made sure he was saved and made sure this and made sure that and just was talking to him. And I said, now look, man, you haven't been in church. No, I haven't been in church. Well, church is where you need to be. I tried to explain to him in English, as Brother Barajas translated, that the FDA says we need minimum daily requirements when it comes to vitamins. You need so much protein, you need so much this, you need so much that. If you're going to be healthy physically, there are things that you got to have on a daily basis. And child of God, there's things that you and I have to have regularly if we're going to stay spiritually healthy. Got to have this book. Got to have some kind of prayer life. Got to be in church. And a man has to have something to do. He's partially disabled, had an aneurysm in the brain some years ago, has left him a little bit crippled on one side of his body. And I said, I don't know if you can. I said, are you able to? He said, yes, I can walk with the help of a friend. He's able to walk, caretaker. I said, you know what I would do if I were you? I would get me a bag. As much as I could every day, I'd go up and down the street, the neighborhood here, 2 or 3 blocks that direction, 2 or 3 blocks this direction, and I would pick up every piece of trash I could. Doesn't matter if nobody paid you for it. You'd be cleaning up the neighborhood. And it would do something for your heart as a man to have something positive to do with your time. Ladies, you may not understand that, but men are made to work. Men are made to put something into society, not be a drain on it. And I encourage this brother. And I hope he came to church this morning. He was supposed to, and I hope he did. And I'll be talking to Brother Barajas. And I think, but look, folks, look, I understand. I understand that people sometimes face embarrassing situations, and it's hard to go back when the word gets out. And by the way, word gets out. In this day and age, nothing stays quiet. I'm embarrassed, and I want to say, I'm afraid somebody will ask me. And folks, sometimes, you've got to use your brain too. It may not be best to always ask. But you've got to get over it. Because you need the services. You need to be in a situation where you can hear the great voice. Are you hurting? Go to church. Are you discouraged? Get to church. Are you depressed? Get to church. You say, you think that's the whole answer? I didn't say it was the whole answer, but it sure helps. It sure helps. And it doesn't help sitting at home. So here he is. John is in a time of tribulation, persecution, trial, testing, personally. He's exiled. He rises above the circumstances. He knows it's the Lord's day. He probably got a little piece of rock or something. Well, I've been here 6 days. Oh, I came here on a Monday. That means today's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And because Hallelujah, because He is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, just in the right place at the right time. He hears a great voice. And He turns around to see who's speaking. And it's Jehovah Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the voice John needed to hear. People, when we assemble on the Lord's day in the Spirit, it's very usual for us to hear a great voice. Not just in the preaching, but in the singing and in the fellowship. Sometimes it's just another brother or sister saying, "Man, it's good to see you." Or, "Woman, it's good to see you." I don't know what you sisters say to each other. You probably don't say, "Man, it's good to see you." That's how we talk. But God can use those things to be the great voice of the Lord speaking to us. And when God speaks to us, it is a great voice. And this is the voice that John heard because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I've told you, I have used this when I have preached in other places. This youth conference that was just held this past week was an unusual youth conference. And I was here on Vacation Bible School Monday and Wednesday. There was a scheduling conflict with my calendar and theirs. It was a mess up on my end or their end. I'm thinking it was probably their end. But anyway, so I couldn't be there the whole time. They were gracious. But they said that it started out on Monday night like Thursday night. Now, if you've ever been to any of these youth things, you know, the preaching, the activities and everything, and it kind of starts off and then it really, really builds to Thursday or the final day, whatever, Thursday or Friday. But they said it started out, well, I just know Tuesday morning, Brother Joe Brown preached Tuesday morning from Washington, did an unbelievable job, and I mean, he said, he gave the invitation, woof! Oh, wow. Now, I got to follow that. How are you going to follow that? And as a preacher, maybe you've not been here before. As a preacher, you start thinking to yourself, well, now what do I need to do because of this? I wonder if I need to do this. You know what you better do? I've learned a few things. I learned to stick with what the Spirit of God gave me because that didn't take Him by surprise. Had a very simple, practical message. And boy, God got in that thing. I mean, He got in it. The service was powerful. I've said it over and over again here and in other places. The preacher is responsible for preparing himself. He's got to get God's mind, got to get the Holy Spirit's leadership, got to get a Bible-based message, not Jack and the Beanstalk. Get something from the Bible and then come preach it. Now I'm going to tell you, folks, so much of the success of a service is less dependent on the preacher and more dependent on those who are listening. And I got Bible for that because I said to you, you've been here before, you've heard this, Ezekiel was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. He was asked to do some of the most unbelievable things a man was ever asked to do. Build the model of the city of Jerusalem and lay on his left side for 300 some odd days and look at the model. And then lay on his right side for another however many days and look at the model. He's supposed to bake bread using human excrement. And he went, "Dear Lord." And I don't blame him. And the Lord said, "Okay, I'll give you a break. You can use cow's dung instead." So he makes bread out of cow's dung and eats it. He has to take a razor and split his hair into two, throw a third of his hair to the wind, burn a third of his hair. I forget to do something else, cut it with a... You're going to go to the wall, take all your belongings, go to the wall and dig a hole and crawl through it. But Scott, take me and you a lot of digging to get through that hole. Amen. I mean, this guy, and you know what God told him? He said, "You know what? You're going to do all these things. And these people that you're preaching to have a forehead like an adamant stone. They're not going to budge." What's wrong with Ezekiel? Nothing. He's a Spirit-filled preacher. Jonah runs from God, disobeys God, gets puked out of the belly of the whale, goes back to Nineveh, does not even want to be there. Has no love for the people, no desire to help the people, gets angry at God when God sends revival to the people. And the whole city repents. Why? Condition of the heart of the listener. Now, folks, you want to come to, if you're going to take the time and effort and energy to be here, and you should, you ought to be in a condition where you can hear the great voice. There is a greater voice than this one speaking this morning. I can only speak to this. There is a greater voice who can speak to this. And you want to be in a condition where you can hear it. You say, well, I came. How? How'd you come? How'd you come? Now, let me give you, in the closing moments this morning of this message, just some practical thoughts about being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Number one, and by the way, I'm not preaching an entire sermon. I'm just giving you some prayer. We'll be out of here in good time. And good time for us is not noon. Amen. All right? So you say, how are you going to do this in 2 minutes? I'm not. But it won't be long. Number one, preparation. Start early. You say, how early on Sunday morning? No, start on Saturday evening. Start on Saturday evening. Don't be up late. Get your family together. Pray for the services at family altar or at supper time around the table. Pray for the services. Make a big deal of going to church. Make a big deal with the kids. You know, are their shoes ready? Are their clothes clean? Prepare to dress up. People, you wear the same clothes to church that you go to play ball, that you go to play park. Then it's like any other trip anywhere else. Turn off the computer in time to get some good sleep. I'm going to show you a video in the coming weeks. I don't know when. Social media is an addiction. It's as dangerous an addiction as alcohol. And unfortunately, it's taking the creators of Facebook and the men who coded Facebook at the beginning for God's people to finally believe it. I'm going to show you the video of the guy who coded it all at the very beginning saying, we created a monster. Unless God leaves differently, I'm going to preach on Facebook's time. Frankenstein. Social media is an addiction. Yep, it's an addiction. You're up till midnight, 1, 2. First thing you do when you wake up in the morning, grab your phone, look at your Facebook, look at your social media. Well, I'm liked by 16,000 people. We laugh, it's an addiction. It has to do with a chemical reaction in your brain called dopamine. It's an addiction. And you come sleep through church. I'm going to tell you, listen very carefully. I don't care whose voice you're watching or listening to or communicating with on Facebook. It's not near as great as that voice. You can't go to sleep because you stay on the computer till... You shut the computer down and go get in the bed. Then you toss, because that LED screen destroyed all the melatonin in your body, which is what puts you to sleep. Now you can't go to sleep, so you go to the doctor. Give me something to sleep. If I was a doctor, I'd say, hand me your laptop. Hand me your cell phone. You say, well, I have been at enough events in this church, like awards banquet, and watched adults. I'm not even talking about teenagers. I'm talking about adults. All night. You're hooked. You're addicted. Prepare yourself. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Not here. There. Okay? At home. Allow for hindrances. Allow for things to go crazy. You got dad sitting in the car. Come on, honk, honk. We're going to be late again. Come on, honk, honk. Where's your mother? Here comes that girl again. What? Honk, honk. Fine. About time he puts it in reverse and puts it back in drive, says, wait just a minute. What'd you do? He gets back in the car. Forgot my phone. Oh, you need that. Well, why, you were yelling at us, and you had forgot you, and then you look at it, you're yelling at us. You're sitting here without your phone, and you're parked the car again. Hi, good morning. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Man, it's so good to be in church today. And your kids are going, preparation, participation too. Participation. Get here in time for fellowship. Shake a hand. Greet a visitor. See, I don't get a blessing out of do that. I got a little solution for you. You don't get a blessing? Give one. How about being a blessing? Why is it always about you not getting what you need? Why don't you give somebody else what they may need? You're so stuck on yourself, so eaten up with yourself, your disappointments, your embarrassments. It's all about you. Give somebody a blessing. Sing. Well, I'm not here for the music. I don't need the music. Well, that's going to go a long ways in heaven. When you're standing around God's throne, Revelation 5:9 says they sung a new song, and you're standing there, you know. And the choir director of heaven says, sir, what's the matter? Oh, I'm not here for the singing. Really? Okay. Oh, worship the King, all glorious. Can we sing that this morning? Worshiping God. Sing. Not to mention anybody who's in the Spirit is going to sing because it's a result of being in the Spirit. Sit as close as you can. Participation, preparation. Here's my last point. Premonition. Now, what's a pre... Well, it's the definition, hear me, a feeling that an event is about to occur. Now, a better word is expectation, but expectation starts with an E instead of a P. I did want to have preparation, participation, expectation. So preparation, participation, premonition, parenthesis, expectation. And I don't mean, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I don't mean that. I just mean, I'm going to church today to hear from God. Please speak to me. Getting your heart ready for the great voice. Hey, listen. It may come in a bold, decisive, direct statement. It may sweep in like a still, small impression on your heart. If it's loud or soft, if it's funny or serious, it's a great voice. It's the voice of Jehovah Christ. Get yourself in a condition where you're in the Spirit on the Lord's day so you can hear a great voice. You need it. It's not my voice. A great voice. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Let's pray. Father, it humbles me to realize that you would speak to me. I am nothing. We all are nothing. And to think that we can assemble in this building on this street corner and you would speak to our hearts. And you do in other places, God. It's not just at church, but that's why we come here partly. To hear your voice. Help us to be in the Spirit on your day so that we can hear the great voice. Please. Help us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder, did you hear a great voice this morning? Pastor, while you were preaching or in the song service or in the fellowship time or at some point, boy, God spoke to my heart. Maybe it was a direct statement. Maybe it was a still small impression. But your time spent at church this morning was profitable because you heard the great voice. Huh? Maybe some of you didn't come in a condition where you could hear the great voice. I wonder how many would say, Pastor, I need to give better attention at coming in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Thank you for this reminder this morning. I need it. I believe next week, maybe I'll even be in a better situation then, condition then. But the Spirit of God spoke to me and helped me this morning. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Wherever you sit this morning, I see your hands. God bless you. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Let me ask this question. Would there be anybody in our midst today that would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I am what the Bible calls saved, born again, on my way to heaven when I die? So that means if you were to die in the next 24 hours, you're not sure where you will spend eternity. Would there be anybody here this morning that would say, Pastor, I do not know that. Just slip your hand in the air where nobody can see. Nobody's looking but me. Just slip your hand in the air where I can see it. Take it right back down, side to side, front to back. Member, visitor, doesn't matter. Is there somebody here who would say, Pastor, I need to be baptized to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism? Pray for me. Is there somebody like that here this morning? I need to be baptized. Haven't followed Christ yet. All right. Now, if God spoke to your heart about this matter of being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, let's respond to God, okay? Maybe from your heart this morning, it's just a thankfulness. God, I thank you for speaking to me and for the great voice that I hear regularly on Sundays and other days of the week as well. Maybe from your heart this morning, it's, God, I need to do a better job preparing my heart, being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. But I want to respond to you, God, because you've spoken to me. Now it's my turn to respond to you. And my heart wants to do that either by coming to this altar or if physically able to pray for a moment, standing, sitting in your pew, whatever the need is. Let's respond back to God. Let's stand together, please. The ladies are playing a song of invitation this morning. Would you let the Lord have His way in your heart and life? You obey the Spirit of God. You obey Him. This is not about a numbers game, reporting. No, no. This is just about us responding when the Spirit of God speaks. Would you come this morning if you're not sure that you're saved? We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you may come as well this morning. Or if you just want to kneel and say, God, please help me. Of all days in the week, help me to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Help me to be while we wait today. Several have come. Would you join these? Would you join them this morning? While we wait. Heavenly Father, our hearts are bowed before you this morning. We thank you for the grace you've given us to hear your voice and, Lord, the grace to respond to it. And I pray that, God, we would find ourselves in the Spirit on your day as much as possible. Now, Lord, we're not mechanical. We're not robots. So we're going to have tough times. And there's going to be a Sunday along the way when we're just in the flesh. But I pray, oh God, that those will be the minority and that the vast majority of times we come to this assembly will be ready for the great voice in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Help those that were moved this morning. Bless us all to live for you. In Jesus' name and amen.